Now come to the reading of our text today. It can be found in Mark chapter 1, verses 32 through 45. Our main focus will be 40 through 45, but for context we will read to begin with 32. At evening, when the sun had set, they brought to him all who were sick and those who were demon-possessed. And the whole city was gathered together at the door. Then he healed many who were sick with various diseases, and cast out many demons. And he did not allow the demons to speak because they knew him. Now in the morning, having risen a long while before daylight, he went out and departed to a solitary place, and there he prayed. And Simon and those who were with him searched for him. When they found him, they said to him, "Everyone is looking for you." But he said to them, "Let us go into the next towns, that I may preach there also, because for this purpose I have come." And he was preaching in their synagogues throughout all of Galilee and casting out demons. Now a leper came to him, imploring him, kneeling down to him and saying to him, "If you are willing, you can make me clean." Then Jesus, moved with compassion, stretched out his hands and touched him, and said to him, "I am willing, be cleansed." As soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy left him, and he was cleansed. And he strictly warned him and sent him away at once, and said to him, "See that you say nothing to anyone, but go your way, show yourself to the priest, and offer for your cleansing those things which Moses commanded as a testimony to them." However, he went out and began to proclaim it freely and to spread the matter, so that Jesus could no longer openly enter the city, but was outside in deserted places, and they came to him from every direction. Thus far, the reading of God's and holy word, and may he bless it. So in this passage today, we see a number of healings that are mentioned. Jesus continues this healing. We're in Mark. Mark is a book that is largely dealing with the actions of Jesus. There's not a lot of preaching. It doesn't mention the Sermon on the Mount. It doesn't mention the things that were spoken, but more directed to the actions. Mark is all about the time frame of Jesus' ministry on the earth. In the book of Mark, we don't even see him until he's an adult. We don't have the early days of Christ in his birth. So Mark jumps into the actions of Jesus, and that is his focus. He uses the word "immediately" a lot. We had it a couple of times here in our passage. Immediately. We get the most contexts of time with Mark. Mark is very big on relaying when things happened. And so we understand the time frame the best from the book of Mark. So within this passage, we see Jesus continuing to do many healings, and from different in the preceding passage, he healed a simple fever, probably a simple cold, and nothing terribly grandiose about that. But he's concerned about a simple cold. And it seems that as if there's almost a progression of things as he goes and continues his ministry. And he's been healing sick, demon-possessed people for a short time here as we're early in Jesus' ministry. So we see something happen in the verses of 40 through 45, something that we haven't seen yet, that of a leper. Having leprosy was a different kind of disease. It made one unclean in that day and age. It was something that was not a normal disease. It was often associated with judgment or punishment by God. We see a great deal of emphasis made within the Levitical laws towards leprosy, which is interesting because how much attention that scripture is given to that very disease when virtually no one has ever Very few people are ever healed from leprosy. And only God can heal that thing. And so we often think, when we look at this passage, that the gospel of Jesus was only lived out on his death and resurrection. Well, that's not entirely true. It is true, but it's also his very life exhibited the gospel, exhibited his good news that he is taking our place. And we'll see that as we dive through this passage. So, as a context, the first few verses there, we see that the healings are making that Jesus is performing are making it hard for him to preach and teach. We see him teaching of various diseases, and we see here in verse 39, and he says, well, 38, he says, "Let us go to the next towns, that he may preach there also, for this is the purpose I have come forth." So he was very popular. People were being healed. There was not a lot of doctors in those days, and so anyone that could heal someone was going to be very popular. And that was not the point of Jesus' being in this time and in this place. As they were looking for him after he was finished praying, he simply said, "Everyone's looking for you." Well, he simply, "No, let's go to the next town." Because he knew their hearts. He knew that no one was seeking salvation. They were seeking just their healing of their bodies. And so we see in this last verse 39, he was preaching in their synagogues. And that's something key to note, because this is the last time that he gets to do it. The synagogues were in each town, as their local church, essentially. He was going to, that was a place where he could proclaim and preach his message to them. But this will be the last time, and we're only in chapter 1. So he no longer was able to after this, and we'll see why here in a minute. But he came to preach and to share the good news, to seek the lost. So he had to go to next town. And so when we come to our main text here, and we come upon leprosy. So leprosy was it's a bacterial disease that we know now. That affects the nerves. Essentially, it deadens you. You could literally cut your hand off and you wouldn't feel it. Many people would die from secondary infections just from a cut because they never knew what happened. And it got infected. It would infect, and then they would generally end up dying of secondary infections. It was a disease that would cause sores, blisters, all sorts of things. It was a disease that was very spreadable. It was a very, very terrible disease to die from. It was a death sentence. And because of that, because of the nature of this disease, that made a person unclean in those days. And that was what we see here, is this man was an untouchable, an unclean person. We see that he comes to Jesus. The lepers were always outside. The lepers were always in the wilderness, away from humanity. They weren't. If they ever came into town, they would have to yell out, "Unclean, unclean," as they walked through the town. This was their obligation if they ever came near a town or a place where other people were. There was many different writings on the rabbis who would pride themselves in, like, "I would never get 100 yards near a leper." So there would be never, we wouldn't even stand 100 yards downwind of a leper. This is the level of ostracization that that we see with the ideas and with the disease of. But we see something that's new. This hasn't happened yet. So Jesus has healed, obviously, many people by this point. But we haven't seen him come to something of this nature yet. He will heal lepers later, but this is the first one. And so this is an interesting a leper. We believe this is Simon the leper. He does circle back to this man's house. This man was obviously living outside the camp. He probably had a family. Many commentaries believe that he was Simon the leper who, again, Jesus comes back to his home and stays at his home. So we know that he was cleansed because he still retained the name and it was given the name Simon the leper. But he comes before Christ. No one had witnessed this. This man didn't know if this was even possible. He came with faith. So we often see within Jesus' ministry, he's healing a lot of people, but we have no indications that they became believers in who Christ was and why he came there. He wasn't looking for those people. That he was looking for those that have faith. We see this man coming to Jesus with faith. So we can see and we can gain from those things that he was a believer. God had been calling him to trust Jesus. And so he comes to Jesus with something that had not been done before. And maybe you can see it in his initial statement. He says, if you are willing, you can make me clean. It wasn't so much as a request, although it was. We see it, this interaction in the Gospel of Luke and Matthew as well. And he prostrates himself, humbly coming before Jesus. But he had to continue coming. They were in the city at this time. So he was coming closer to Jesus. And he says, you can make me clean. And notice that he says clean, not healed. Throughout Scripture, Jesus does not heal leprosy. He cleanses it. There's a difference between just being healed and being cleansed. And so we'll see that a little here as we go through this. And so as he is drawing nearer and nearer to Christ, can you imagine this man who's been separated from his family for quite some time? As we can see in Luke's account of this interaction, that he's saying he was full of leprosy. So this was a well advanced condition of leprosy. This was no small matter. He was covered in it, very visible. And as he's coming to Christ and he's walking through a crowd, the literally people would part, giving him a wide berth to walk directly to Jesus. And imagine as this man is coming closer and closer, expecting this rabbi that he'd heard about to back away, as every other rabbi had done to him. Every other religious person of the day and age had backed away from him, giving him more space than he needed. And as he came closer, and Christ stood there and allowed him to continue to approach, and got closer. Can you grasp the attitude of this man's heart? The hope that he has that Jesus, only Jesus can take this burden of him, can give him the thing that he desires most. And he recognizes, and it doesn't say it in this passage, but it does in Matthew, that he says, Lord. He addresses him as Lord. And this is also a key distinction of that we believe he is a believer. He called him Lord. Lord, you can make me clean. It was a statement of faith. You can do this. I know you can. And that's we see that. And so we see Jesus says he was moved with compassion. That word compassion, is the Greek says he was moved in his bowels. It's the source of pity and compassion is where that is supposedly stemmed from. Jesus was deeply moved by this man. And so we see him coming to him, and he comes before him and asks him to be cleansed. So we see also that Jesus knew something more of what his needs were. He needed to be cleansed, for sure. But this man hadn't been touched. This man hadn't been hugged, given love for who knows how long. This man needed love as much as he needed cleansing. And Jesus has throughout his ministry, he can speak. Simply speak and healing is done. He could have spoken to this man and said, be cleansed. And it would have been done. But he touched him. And that's something that was very, very controversial. And it wasn't just a light touch. The Greek word here is to clasp. He grabbed him. There was no doubt that he touched him. He grasped him as if like to cling to him. It was not a light touch. Jesus was making a point, I believe, that he was giving this man the first touch, a human interaction touch he hadn't had in a long time, but he also cleansed him. And so we see also that in the Levitical sense of things, Jesus should never have touched this man. If you touched anything to do with a leper, even the cloak that he wore, you would be then unclean as well. Just the idea of being unclean, and then you would have to go through a lot of rituals and things to become clean again. As the leper was an untouchable person, he came to this and was touched by Jesus. And so we can see that Jesus, it appears like he's breaking the rules. Is it possible that he's touching this man this is against the Levitical laws? And so he technically should not have touched this man. Jesus did something that the people of this day and age would, if they were witnessing it. It doesn't really indicate whether there was a lot of witnesses to this particular touching, but I'm sure there was a crowd. We don't know if the Pharisees were there. They typically were against anything that he did. But we see this untouchable, this idea of staying away from everyone else. We saw a little bit of a version of that around 2020-ish, where we all had to stay in social distancing. Leprosy was a kind of a social distancing like 10 times of what COVID ever was. And so we can understand a little bit of how the ostracization, and sometimes I felt like I was walking in a store without a mask, I should be yelling unclean. But we see here now, Jesus is coming close. He's touching, he's grasping, and he probably, if he was anybody else, he probably shouldn't have done that. But he is able to touch. Even if this leper had touched a dog or a cow, they would have killed that cow or that dog. That's how strict this law was. Touch nothing. If you touched his cloak, the cloak would be burned. Anything of a leprosy was strictly forbidden. But we see something here that is the first time in the history since the beginning where we see in the Levitical laws, and we'll read a little bit of that here in a second, but we see the first time in history that someone clean touched someone unclean and they both walked away clean. This is only done by God. Someone clean touching someone unclean, and they both walked away clean. This is a startling turn of events. And we see in this, Jesus' cleanness was transferred to this leper. This point cannot be understated. This is the gospel. Jesus is cleansing, his cleanness is transferred to this man. As we receive Jesus' cleanness transferred to us. And so we can see in this story that this is yet another example of Christ's propitiation, taking our uncleanness and transferring to us his cleanness. Another interesting aspect of this is found in Leviticus 14, which I'll read for you here. We often will read through Scripture and try to read from the beginning to the end, and usually you get pretty good with Genesis and Exodus, and you get to Leviticus, and it's kind of like, I don't know what's going on here. This is very, very odd. We don't know what it's there for, but I feel like we have an indication here, because all of the Levitical laws are pointing to Christ. So we read the Ten Commandments. Those are still applicable. They're still active. The Levitical laws have been fulfilled in Christ, and so therefore no longer need to do them. But we see in the Levitical laws glimmers of who Christ is. And so Leviticus 14, 2 through 7 says, "And this shall be the law of the leper for the day of his cleansing. He shall be brought to the priest, and the priest shall go out of the camp, and the priest shall examine him. And indeed, if the leprosy is healed in the leper, then the priest shall command to take for him who is to be cleansed two living and clean birds, cedar wood, scarlet, and hyssop. And the priest shall command that one of the birds be killed in an earthen vessel over running water. As for the living bird, he shall take it, the cedar wood, and the scarlet and the hyssop, and dip them in the living bird, in the blood of the bird that was killed over the running water. And he shall sprinkle it seven times on him who is to be cleansed from leprosy, and shall pronounce him clean, and shall let the living bird loose, open in a field." It's very interesting. We see in this where, yet again, another example of the gospel. Two birds, one is killed, its blood sprinkled upon the leprous person and also on the other bird. The blood of one is transferred onto the living bird, and the living bird is set free. Wow. We can see that being played out right here, right now, with Jesus being here in this way. We see this being Jesus as He sets us free with His blood. By His shed blood sprinkled upon us, we are then set free. We are all leprous in many different ways, in ourselves, in our flesh. And we need Christ's sprinkling blood to set us free. And so we can see what these Levitical laws are here for. And it takes some understanding to unpack that and to see it. Again, there's multiple chapters on leprosy, and it's interesting that they spend so much time, and now we kind of understand why. It's all pointing forward to Christ. We see this is a very neat thing that we can bring the Old Testament and connect it to the New Testament. We're not just New Testament believers; we are old and new. We are all of God's word all together. And we can see how one points forward to Christ, and then the New Testament can, and we now can look back. And so his blood is setting us free. So the question does come up, though, was Jesus breaking the law? Because it was against the law to touch a leper. But he is the lawgiver. That's another point that we need to understand. He is the lawgiver. We know the Levitical laws were fulfilled, but in the same way that if we were in a traffic accident, or we see a traffic accident that's in an intersection with a light, well, maybe it's a red light, but there's a police officer there directing you to go through the red light. Well, am I supposed to follow the red light because it's red? But there's someone there that can set the law aside to direct. And I think that's a way we can maybe grasp that a little bit better. Jesus is a lawgiver. He can set aside this. He was the fulfillment. These Levitical laws were fulfilled in him. They don't know it yet, but Jesus does. And so we can, like, as he is now directing this man, he's essentially breaking the Levitical laws because they have been broken in him. He is the lawgiver, and he can do as he chooses. But why did he then turn around and say, "Now you need to go to the priests and present yourself there and to fulfill all the Levitical laws"? Well, it says it here in verse number 34. It says, "See that you say nothing to anyone, but to go your way, show yourself to the priests, and offer for your cleansing those things which Moses commanded as a testimony to them." So this man, we believe, has become a believer in Christ. He has been also now given a commission to go do something as a testament to them. It's interesting to note that this where they're at now, for this man to do that, it's about a 2-day walk. That wasn't just a small ask. Jesus told him to go to the priests. And had he done so, it would have been a matter of, they would have had to dust off a scroll that they hadn't looked at in a very long time. Nobody was cleansed from leprosy. There was only two examples in all of Scripture where we can see that leprosy was cleansed. There was a Gentile commander who was healed, Naaman, who was healed, and then there was also Miriam, Moses' sister, were the only two examples that we have in Scripture that anyone was ever healed. But there was, again, we have this Levitical law that shows exactly what you need to do, and it's very involved, very technical. There's a lot of verses and a lot of things that those priests would have had to have done to pronounce this man clean. But why did Jesus send him then? He didn't need to have him do this. This was meant to be as a testimony to them. And so this is the next verse here starts with a however. It's a disappointing however. We see in this passage, due to the leper's immediate disobedience, Jesus' ministry is now altered. Jesus knew this would happen. Otherwise, why else would he tell him and warn him in such a manner? He says he warns him strictly. Don't say this. Don't go and tell everyone about this. Jesus is already having a hard enough time going into the synagogues without simply the healings. And so therefore we can see that progression of it's getting harder and harder. But he told he warned him, and in such a manner, he not only told everyone, but we have no indication that he ever, this leper, ever went to the priest at all. We don't get that part of the story. It's possible that maybe he did not. And so he literally failed in his first evangelical task. Jesus commanded this man to go do something for him to as a testimony to them. Because if once he got to the priests, the priest would have had to acknowledge that God was on the earth. This would have been a striking shock to all the priests at Jerusalem. And so this is something that didn't take place. This man's immediate disobedience is a disappointment and it should be a disappointment to us. Jesus gave this man's life back, and this was the thanks that he got. But Jesus, we see something here. This is a disappointing failure, but it is a familiar issue with many believers. We often will accept the calling on our lives from the Lord and then immediately disobey. Our lives are fraught with disobedience to God's word, to God's commands. But this is an interesting part what we see here is where the leper has been abandoned outside of the city, outside the camp, in the wilderness, in the wastelands, all by himself, or there's a colony of them oftentimes, a leprous colony. But we see this man, Jesus had been in the cities. And we see this man that had been out there this whole time, for a long time. And Jesus, knowing this man's faith and his knowing that he was a believer, he was a convert to Christianity. But we see what happened here, because Jesus' compassion, Jesus exchanged places with this man. He exchanged places. And we saw earlier that he took this man's uncleanness away, but he also took his position of where he lived away. And it says, he proclaimed it freely so that Jesus could no longer openly enter the city, but was outside in deserted places. So Jesus had a synagogue ministry in the city, and he willingly cleansed this man and exchanged places for him. His position now, Jesus was now relished to the wilderness, the deserted places. He was no longer allowed to come into the cities openly. This is yet another depiction of the gospel, of Jesus is taking our place as he took this leper's place. Because of his love and compassion for us and for this poor leper, I mean, his popularity increased tenfold, I would guess, because leprosy just wasn't healed. Nobody got healed from leprosy. And so when this got out, and this guy did probably a pretty good job, and I mean, really, can we blame him? If I had a disease that was a death sentence and that was lifted from me, I would have a tendency to want to tell everybody about it myself. But this was not Christ's command. This was not the time. I'm sure he didn't say that he could never speak of it, but he said to go do this thing. However, he didn't. And so we can see, because of that love, that compassion, as we see that there, that Jesus was moved with compassion for this man. And he is also moved with compassion for us. He went to the cross because of his compassion. He exchanged our place, what we deserve, for his position. So what can we do with this passage? How can we apply it? As sinfulness is another form of uncleanness. And for most of us, that's the disease that we struggle with today. Our sin makes us unclean. Romans 1:24 says, therefore God also gave them up to uncleanness in the lusts of their hearts, to dishonor their bodies among themselves. We are unclean. Our sin makes us unclean. And we are a lot like this leper. We are the ones who Christ exchanged our curse for his righteousness. We need to grasp that. That's something that needs to sit on our hearts. Do you feel like this leper sometimes? Do you feel the stain of sin in your soul? Are your sins making you unclean? Are you forgetting the grace that has been given to you? We must approach the author of our salvation and our Redeemer with the same attitude that not only Jesus can make us clean, then that there is not any part of you that can play a part of this. That you can't make yourself clean. Nobody can make themselves clean. You cannot do that. There's nothing apart from Christ who can fulfill and is the author and perfecter of our faith. But what we can do is bring it to the Lord. So we see in this passage an example of a leper living in a state of, I'm a leper. It's just the way I am. His identity was that of leprosy. His identity was for the rest of his life even. I mean, he even had a hard time removing the name. Like I said, we consider him to be Simon the leper, who Jesus dined with, and where he had an adulterous woman come and pour the offering on his feet and wash his feet. He was in Simon the leper's house, so we know that he was cleansed in this. But his whole life was wrapped up in this identity. Perhaps you have a condition that you simply have just conceded to that. Maybe it's something that's not necessarily sinful. I have cancer. I have autism. I have ADHD. I have X, Y, Z disease, whatever it is. Does it define who you are? And maybe it is also something that can be sinful. I'm just lustful. I'm an alcoholic. I'm a gossip. I'm selfish. That's just the way I am. I find that too many Christians these days simply accept these designations, these identities. In a time where identity is being talked about a lot, we often give in to that as well. I'm just the way I am. I'm just sinful. I just can't do it. Well, we see with this what this leper did. So we should seek the Lord with for our changing, for our cleansing, for our very lives. Choose not to agree with that identity. That prognosis, that self-assessment. Because if you are in Christ, you have one identity. Not those, all the other ones are nothing compared to your identity in Christ. Because that one doesn't change. That one stays for eternity. All your other identities that you're tempted to accept about yourself need to be brought before the Lord. And so when you do that, and you lay those things down before Jesus' feet, don't forget who healed you. Don't forget to know and recognize and have that grateful heart, because we are all sinful. We've all fallen short. Sin is a constant war that we fight. And we will get wrapped up in that and just simply accept that sin. Do not do that. Bring it before the Lord. Let him cleanse you. Unfortunately, we often forget. I've known a number of cancer survivors that were very diligent in seeking the Lord when they were diagnosed with it. And then they went into remission and wandered away, as if the Lord had never healed them. This is a tragedy. God has given them an opportunity to see his hand in their life. Not that every person is cleansed from cancer, but we see people turning away despite the gifts from God, because we were saved for a purpose. It is for your good and for the good of God's kingdom that you were saved. You are seeking, but we need to seek how we are to live that salvation out. It would be kind of like if you were given $1 million and you simply did nothing with it. The person came up to your door and said, "Here's $1 million. "Oh, thanks." Live in your basement and never say anything and never do anything. As if it never happened, and nothing changed your life, you told no one about it. That would be odd, wouldn't it? That you would not take that and enjoy it. Your salvation is worth so much more than $1 million. What are you doing with that knowledge of that gift that Jesus has given you? Are you hiding it, not sharing it, not going out and proclaiming the gospel to others? not being a light in this world, we have a regenerated heart given by faith alone in Christ alone. But we know all of our hearts well. You know the sin that is in you. We all sin. We all have a troubles sometime with the depiction that we have, our old self, the sinful self, the old man. He likes to rise up, try to retake the ground that Christ has gained in your life. We very well know that our hearts can still develop leprous sores. There's parts of our lives that we haven't fully given to the Lord. But the God's grace is sufficient for even these spots. These little spots that develop, and if not dealt with, they grow. There are many, many, many sermons have been preached on, don't be like the bad guys, be like the good guys. You know? Be like David, be like Moses. Don't be like Ahab, or be like Esther. Don't be like Jezebel. And they have oftentimes very little practical use for a believer. But I see this leper as different. I don't need to tell you to be like this leper in the faith that he exhibited to Christ. We are this leper. We are already just like this man, unclean in and out of ourselves, coming to Christ, begging him for a cleaning touch. When we need to recognize Jesus as the hero of this story. He restored this man's life as he does and restores ours. He has taken our place. Our identity is now in Christ. Knowing that truth, what do you intend to do about it? How will Jesus taking your death sentence cause you to live a righteous and holy life before him? You must grasp the magnitude of that gift. Will it cause you to obey him out of a grateful heart? It's my sincere hope that you do. So come, approach Christ with all your uncleanness, all your sin, all your identities, giving them over to him. And this is the gospel, the good news. Jesus takes those things and gives you a new life in him. And we need to do this continually through our lives, as we all continue to struggle against sin and that uncleanness that seeks to harm us. And so, again, consider this day what Christ has done for you. Let us pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we are lepers of our flesh. We are lepers in our sin. Lord, we see in this passage a beautiful depiction of you taking our place as you took the place of this leper. You took the burden of sin and guilt away from us and throwing it into the deepest sea of forgetfulness. Lord, we can't grasp the magnitude of that gift, Lord. Lord, give us the strength and diligence and perseverance in this life as we seek to honor you for the gifts that you've given us, the gift of salvation. Lord, you are holy and righteous. You are a mighty God. Lord, this is for your glory that we honor you. Lord, help us to give you the glory for all of the many blessings that we have enjoyed. The gift of cleanness. The gift of a new identity in you. Lord, help us proclaim that. Help us to hear it and help it to set on our hearts every moment with every breath that we breathe. Lord, we give you the glory and the praise and the honor for this. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.